Hi, everybody. This is the Ramble Redhead Show, and I'd like to welcome you today. Today we have a very special guest by the name of Michael, and he is a performer as well as a playwright as well as a director, and he's done a lot of wonderful things, and so I have him on the program. And without any further ado, I want him to say hello to all of you.
Hello, everybody.
How are you doing today?
I'm wonderful. I'm just loving this South Bend winter here.
Yeah, for all of you in northern Indiana, we got a bunch of snow this weekend, and it's been absolutely horrible. And so Michael, as well as everybody here, has been having fun driving around the wonderful, wonderful area. So it's been horrible. But that's not why we're here today. We're here to talk to Michael about him.
I'm much more exciting.
Yeah, he's much more exciting and then the horrible weather. So what we'll do is we're going to get started. So, Michael, can you tell us a little bit about yourself today, and then we'll get into a little bit about the history?
Sure. Living here in South Bend, recently I was in Chicago. I spent many years in Chicago. My husband, Ernie, he's a professor in town, so we moved down here for the job. And so I'm continuing with the writing, and I was able to direct a show at the university as well, and kind of working on other employments, you know. So it's just different. It's you know, we found our little things in the area. We love the farmer's market and the different things, and you know, at the same time we're, you know, driving around in our car in a very suburban, you know, part of town with the Super Target, and it's kind of like, where are we, what's going on? You know, so it's a bit of a culture shock, but you know, we're both from, you know, Michigan, and so we kind of know, you know, that kind of thing as well. So
Okay, good. Well, we'll get in more about that and your partner as well. And so you grew up in Michigan, is that right?
Yep, I grew up in Detroit, like the northwest side of Detroit, kind of on the edge of suburbia, you know. Great neighborhood to grow up in. And I went to Catholic schools in Detroit and in the suburbs, and then spent some time in Kalamazoo and Ann Arbor and Ypsilanti and, you know, before making my way to Chicago. So
okay. And now, are you an only child? Do you have brothers and sisters?
I'm the oldest. There's four boys. I'm the oldest. And there's Steve's in the middle, and there's twin brothers. You know, my mom and dad, you know, they wanted a girl, and they got twin boys instead. So, you know.
Wow. Well, I just watched this movie, and I'm space out the title of it, but the family, they had all boys. And then the youngest one ended up being, he was the gay one. And I can't think of the movie. It was an international foreign film. I'll have to get the name. But they were wanting a girl, and they kept having babies, and they kept having boys and stuff. And then there's like the scene where the father is like talking to all the other guys, and they're like, oh, I got some strong manly sperm, you know. And it was really funny. So how old are you?
I'm 32.
32 years old. Okay. And well, one of the questions is, if you've been listening to the show, that you know that – so how old was it when you realized that you were gay?
That I realized, gosh, you know, it's funny because in retrospect, obviously, you know, hindsight, 2020 vision, you know, much earlier, but when I actually started figuring it out was, in college. So just before just after I turned 18, my birthday is in October. So, shortly after my 18th birthday, you know, once I got out of the, Catholic all-male football school that I attended, and was a theater major, you know, and, you know, didn't come, you know, could grow out my hair and just kind of, you know, let loose a little bit. That's when I started to, it all started to click and make sense. And I was like, you know, actually, you know, met more, you know, gay people that, you know, were out and everything, you know, other theater majors and stuff. And so just all started to kind of click.
Did anything happen in high school at all for you? What was that like for you?
No, I mean, you know, I had girlfriends in high school. In fact, I'm still friends with my ninth grade girlfriend, Amy, you know, so she's probably listening, or, you know, I'll tell her about the show. You know, had a few girlfriends, you know, nothing. I was not real, you know, Mr. Popular, you know, but I did drama club, and, you know, I had my friends. And in high school, as far as like, I mean, I got picked on from, you know, there were the mortal enemies, you know, I guess you could say. And then there were the guys that kind of like, you know, would give me, you know, even my friends give me shit sometimes, you know, but it's like, whatever, you know, I kind of defended myself and, you know, got through it. But I mean, I wouldn't trade high school, you know, I wouldn't say high school was hell, you know, but it was good, you know, it made me who I am. you know.
Well, that's true. So, so you did get teased a little bit about that being. Were they teased about being gay, or that they didn't know that at the time? Because you didn't really know it at the time.
Yeah, no, they teased me. You know, just gosh, you know, various, you know, not like horrible like verbal assaults, but they would, you know, people, you know, the guys would pick on me. It was, you know, an all guys school, so there's a lot of that stuff, you know, flying around.
So when you were 18, 19, when you first came out, so what was the, when you finally came to realize that, how did you feel at that point? I mean, did you, I'm just curious.
I just all made sense, but, and it was a very slow process for me. Like, you know, some people, you know, kick open the closet door. I mean, I was kind of like, you know, creaking open, kind of looking around, you know, and it was basically, it was from an overheard conversation. I was at this party, I was just kind of enjoying the party, drinking my beer, whatever, kind of just taking it all in. And my friend Ellen and my friend Mark, you know, were hanging out, and I just heard Ellen go to Mark, "Oh, you know, Mark, are you bisexual?" And Mark, you know, said something like, "Oh, well, if I see an attractive guy, I'm not going to like go up there and jump on him, but I'm going to, you know, admire him." And I was like, and I think that just kind of like, I heard that, and I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah. And so that just got the gears going, and I identified as bisexual for a while, but you know, and I do feel that that is legitimate for some people. And for some people, it is kind of a stepping stone and a phase, and you know, it's all fluid, and you know, it's all different scales of sexuality or whatever, but I eventually stopped identifying that way, and you know, so that's kind of how it goes. And I started slowly but surely telling people, talking to friends in the theater and other friends, and eventually my best friend, and about a year later my parents, you know. So
okay, so what was it like telling your best friend?
Well, you know, of course, some of my friends were kind of waiting for me to say something, as my parents did as well. But I remember sitting with my best friend Chris, who's since first grade we've been best friends, and we were sitting by the golf course by my house, and I think he said something like, "So how does it feel to kiss a guy?" And I was just like, "Oh, you know, the same, just a little hairier." You know. So, wow. So yeah, you know, because I think I must have told him about, you know, the first kiss and all that stuff. So you know.
Well, so he's been your best friend since the first grade.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's awesome when you have somebody that long. I have my best friend since the fourth grade, so it's really cool. It's about 30 years, and so it's awesome. So what was his reaction then? He was okay with it, obviously.
Oh, yeah, totally, you know.
Okay. I was just curious, and then you said you told the parents. Mm-hmm. So what was their reaction?
Well, they knew, and that's an interesting story. I think it's interesting, but it was actually the night before. My brother, Steve, was in a serious car accident in summer of '93, and he was out in Colorado for physical therapy and rehab and everything. And we were flying out there for Christmas, and I'm just like, okay, before we get into the craziness of the hospital and Christmas and blah, I'm like, it was time to talk to my parents. So this was sophomore year in college, and I had a pen pal. I had several pen pals kind of before the internet, you know, before MySpace, before LiveJournal, before blah, 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 when, you know, we had paper and stamps and we wrote things and sent them in the mail. Crazy times. I know. I had this girl who lived out in California, and she'd sent me this poem that she wrote called River Flowing. I think it was River Flowing. And it was very, you know, like, my love is a river, and it goes, you know, through valleys and around mountain, you know, very like natural, you know, nature metaphors about, you know, bisexuality. And I was just like, I just remember reading it and like crying and like, oh my God, this is me, this poem, you know? So I went into my parents' room, and, you know, I had something to talk to them about. And so I, you know, I'm like, I want to read you something. And so I read them this poem, and, you know, I was like, So do you get it? You know, and of course my mom's not going to let me off that easy. She was like, you know, no, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm like, I'm like, so, I saw that I was bisexual and yeah, you know, and they were like, okay, you know, and they'd been waiting for me to kind of say something for many years. And I didn't really bother to ask them how long they'd been waiting because I kind of didn't want to know, you know, probably it's way, way long time ago. So, but yeah, they were, you know, they kind of knew. And I think, you know, I think my mom had in years prior kind of started to ask, you know, like in thinking about various conversations, I was like, oh, I think she was asking kind of what was going on, but I was clueless and, you know, yeah. Didn't.
Well, you obviously, when you're in that age and you're in denial and you don't want to, you know, you're scared to say something, you know, and so you don't know how they're going to react. Because there's a lot of people that unfortunately who've come out that didn't have a very positive response. And so no matter what, even the closest families still have issues. So it's really sad. And that's why I really like enjoy talking to interview people that scholars from the Point Foundation. I don't know if you heard of that, but it's based out of Chicago.
Oh, yeah.
And they do scholarships for kids who unfortunately their parents had been kicked out. So, but it's really touching. I'm hoping to get some of those students on the show. So,
oh, that'd be excellent.
Yeah, it was cool. Yeah. So obviously your parents were obviously more accepting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what was your father's reaction?
Oh, you know, my dad. Oh, yeah, totally. You know, my dad's like so mellow and, you know, in certain ways, you know, and he's just like, hey, yeah, you know, I mean, he's, you know, he was not the kind of dad that was kind of like, oh, my son, you know, yeah. My dad's totally cool and with that and okay. Everything. So,
okay. Well, see, you know, as I've tried to tell a lot of my listeners that I think that the, you know, as generations, you know, get older, that I think that they're starting to, you know, not be so negative about gay people. In fact, I just read in The Advocate about over 73% of the people in the military now feel that it's okay for gays to serve.
Yeah.
So I mean, it is a changing process, and, you know, and that's really good for, especially the younger people, obviously, so they can benefit from our history.
All our wives and years.
Yes, exactly. Okay, I was just curious then. So obviously you told the folks. Now, did you tell your brothers then?
I eventually told Steve, you know, he was dealing, you know, it was basically, he was going through so much with, you know, with his accident and everything. And so I finally talked to him that summer of 94, this would have been, and I was seeing this guy, you know, that I met at school, and I think he'd been to the house, or, you know, I think they met at least once or something. And I called, you know, I'm like, hey, you know, my friend, you know, well, it's kind of more than a friend. He's like, okay. You know, everybody was just kind of like, okay, duh. You know, then, you know, finally, you know. And then Mark and David, my little brothers, they were, how old were they? They were like 12, 13 at the time. And so my mom just handled that. She talked to them about it. And they were, you know. They were cool, you know. I mean, they were 12. They didn't really care. They're like, yeah, whatever. But she handled that. You know, she talked to them.
So okay, good. Well, I'm just curious because I always like to hear that story.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting. So you said you had a boyfriend at that time. So you met through school. So
yeah,
what was that first boyfriend like?
Oh God, I don't know if I'd really call him a boyfriend. Okay. You know, we never really got that far. Yeah, it was just someone I knew from. At school there was, you know, kind of early internet things going on. And so there was a lot of the intercampus, you know, bulletin boards and all that kind of stuff. And there was a gay forum, it was a triangle forum, something like that. So there's, you know, we'd post things on this site and then we'd all meet at wherever and meet at Bilbo's Pizza and whatever. So he was somebody that had been posting for a while, but I never met. I think he didn't get along with one of the other guys, so like they never wanted to be in the same room. So finally, I met him at like just before school got out, and you know, it's like, hey, but, you know, we kind of hit it off and we're talking. And he was living with his parents over the summer, and we, you know, our families didn't live too far from each other, maybe about half an hour. And so we just hung out a few times, and we, you know, met up at school over the summer once. So, you know, fun, but nothing, you know. You know, too, you know, too serious. Yeah. So
what was the next chapter in your life then? So you're still going to school, you're you're becoming, you know, in drama and that kind of thing. Were you doing writing then as well?
Yeah. You know, I started off as a theater education major. I was going to be secondary education. And I just remember junior year, like, in the middle of one of my acting classes, just kind of, like, having this, like, little breakdown. Like, I was just not into it. My professor, you know, Jim, he was just like, do you want to sit down? I'm like, Jim, I just need to go. And then I had one of these, you know, I went home, I was crying, I was like, called my mom, and I'm like, I don't want to do this teaching thing. Like, I just wasn't, like, I took some, I had a couple education classes, and all these people were like, rah, 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 and I was like, no, you know, so I switched my theater major to performance, and my English major to creative writing. So, I mean, I've been writing stuff since I was little, little poems and little stories, and putting on shows, and so, you know, I did the poetry classes and the fiction classes and the playwriting classes, and in addition to all my theater classes. Wow. So, and then, you know, I've been writing, you know, I have high school poetry that I still have all of them, and I'm gonna make a show out of them someday. They're angsty and great and very emo, I guess.
You know? Well, see, I did a lot of writing when I was in high school, and short stories and poems and stuff. And, you know, I think it's really cool when you're in, no matter what kind of creative process it is. So, did you have any early mentors at all, or people you inspired by?
A really cool just writing teachers in college. And even like in high school, my English teacher, Mr. Bean, where are you? He was just a really cool guy. I had him freshman year and senior year, and he just is a really cool, you know, he really encouraged us to be creative and everything. And so he was very inspirational. He was kind of, I remember he kind of, his first day of class, freshman year, kind of stood up on the radiator. It was very Dead Poet Society, you know, kind of thing. but even in college, Jonathan, Kelly, and then Arnie, who's the head of the playwriting over there, you know, they were all just really cool. Their classes were always fun, and it was just a really good group of, you know, students in all those classes. So, you know, just part of the whole discovery process of, you know, I just, in my fiction classes, you know, a lot of what I was doing was like this first person, you know, present tense kind of, you know, very monologue-y, you know, which was, since I had such a strong theater, you know, base and theater background, that just made sense. And that ultimately has evolved into the solo performance stuff, you know, that I do. So the roots were there, and, you know, it's just really cool to kind of discover that, you know, along the way. So
after college, then while you're in college, what kind of productions did you do? Were there anything that stood out that you could talk about?
You know, I directed a lot, and part of, you know, I was like, well, I'm this performance major, and I guess I'm an okay actor, but I was kind of like, I kind of want to leave it to, you know, the people who are a little better and the professionals, you know. So I was like trying to find my way, you know, through the whole theater thing. And I was starting to do the playwriting, but I was also into the directing. And Lida, one of my teachers at school, she was great. You know, she's a great mentor with the directing. And she was very sweet and called everyone love. But then she was also like, you know, she would nail you on something if you got, you know, if it wasn't working, you know, she would call you out, and she didn't take any crap. And, you know, and I directed a lot, really good experiences. My last show I did a play called Extremities. I think it was Susan Sarandon in the movie. As this woman who, she lives in New Jersey with her roommates, and she's home alone, and a guy comes in and tries to rape her. He throws her into the fireplace. She throws him into the fireplace. And then, you know, the roommates come home and they're like, oh my God, there's a guy in the fireplace, and what's going on? It was a great experience. But I think I was a little in over my head at that point. And I was like, a little burnt. Like, I learned from my mistakes and the successes of that production, but I was like, whoa, I don't know. I kind of like to be in charge from, you know, behind my computer instead of like from the director's chair, you know? So, you know, just fast forward 10 years later when I'm directing this show here in South Bend, it's kind of the first time I've done it in a long time. And I was kind of like, okay, I can do this again. I think it just kind of took me a while to, you know, get back into that. I don't think I can direct every show, you know, but now I know a little bit more about who I am as an artist and where I'm coming from, where if I were to do another show at school or elsewhere, it'd be like, I could be like, okay, yes, I can do this. Oh, this one, not so much, you know. Yeah. So.
Did you do any gay-themed plays at all?
I did. I did a few. I did Terrence McNally has an old one act called Noon, which is great. I think it was written in the late 60s, maybe. So there was a reference about Tennessee Williams being alive, and I tweaked that. So that was a lot of fun. So there was a kind of a gay sub, you know, storyline in there. And then I also did Harvey Fierstein. I think it was after he did Tort Song Trilogy, is when Safe Sex came out. It was a group of three one acts, and I did the first act called Manny and Jake, which was a lot of fun. And I mean, that was all gay, you know? Right. So, what else I do? I think, yeah, those are the only two like gay themed plays I directed. But just some of the stuff I was writing, you know, starting to kind of, I wrote this one play that will never see the light of day ever until I'm dead. I don't know. And then people want to produce it, you know, and, because it'll, you know, whatever. if I become cool enough, or like even my bad plays that, you know, you find on my computer. But, you know, it was kind of like, you know, four gay men, you know, in an apartment talking about stuff, discovering stuff, you know. It was very kind of like my, I guess, Love, Alec, Compassion, or my, you know, Boys in the Band, you know. And it just wasn't very good and, you know, kind of cliched in some ways. But I think I needed to write that before I can move on to, you know, other things. You know, sometimes you need to get the cliches out of your system before you can get to the good stuff. So, you know.
Well, it sounds like you had a lot on your plate over the years.
Yeah.
So then after you finished college, then what happened? What did you decide to do then?
I moved. You know, I went to school in Kalamazoo, Michigan, and then I lived with a couple friends in Ypsilanti, which is just outside of Ann Arbor. And I waited tables at a breakfast place in Ann Arbor for a year. As you know, a lot of my friends were going directly to New York or directly to Chicago or directly to LA. Excuse me. And I was like, not quite ready for that. Like, I didn't have any money, you know, so I wanted to save. And also just being closer to home for a year was kind of good. I could, you know, reconnect with my, you know, family a little bit more and not be 2 hours away and, you know, be 15 minutes away, and just saved money and served a lot of omelets and, you know, a lot of dollar bills, shoving them in the bank, and moved to Chicago. So
that was the next step. You went to Chicago.
Yes.
Now, had you dated anybody during that time?
Well, yeah. I mean, I had a boyfriend in college, Michael, and, you know, there were various crushes and, you know, things not as serious, and guys I met at the zoo, at the bar, you know, and various, you know, things. And when I was hanging out in Ypsilanti, again, it was a few guys I'd met, you know, AOL. I finally got in, you know, an AOL account, and, you know, instead of my school one, and, you know, was doing some of the personals, you know, on that. And I, you know, met a couple of people that way. But yeah, nothing serious. Like, I graduated in April, and by June I was kind of like, I called my friend Sarah and I was like, Sarah, Chicago, like in a year? She's like, yeah, great, let's do it. You know, she was living in Grand Rapids, and, you know, we were both just like, you know, I was waiting tables, she was a temp, and it's like, okay. You know,
you took the big step to move to Chicago.
Yes.
And what part of Chicago did you live in?
Oh, all over Lakeview, so Boys Town. You know, I had four apartments, the last one with Ernie. And yeah, so just all in and around. Like, my first time was in Chicago, it was like 94. I was with a friend of mine who lived in Indiana. And I just remember like driving up Lakeshore Drive, and it was in the summer, and like all these, you know, hot guys, you know, like along Lakeshore and along Lake Michigan. And I was just like, oh my God. And, like, I love the city. So we would hang out like at Clark and Belmont, you know, and like the alley and all the, you know, kind of, you know, alternative punky, you know, stores and stuff, and went to some of the gay stores. Like, there was a bookstore that's long gone. But we, you know, go to that and some of the other, I think, Gay Mart, I think that was around, you know, yeah. at that time. And so it was just kind of like, wow, okay. you know, so I knew that part of town already from coming to visit. So I knew that that's where we wanted to go, you know.
Cool. And so you said you mentioned Ernie then. So how long after moving to Chicago did you meet him?
I moved to Chicago in 98, and Ernie and I met in 2001 in October. So
did anything happen in between that period before you met him that you want to share with the wonderful world?
Oh, Lord. You know, I just remember the first time that, you know, the security guard at Roscoe's, you know, called me by name and didn't check my ID. And I was like, wow, okay, I've, you know, been here a lot. No, I mean, those were, you know, great few years. You know, it's like I'm thinking of the music, you know, like I was actually listening to downloading some of my old CD singles onto my iTunes, like that Deborah Cox song, Nobody's Supposed to Be Here. Like that defines like when I first moved to Chicago, you know, Madonna's Ray of Light just came out. And it's so funny because I know there are people who define their lives, you know, in the releasing of different Madonna albums. So if you're out there, I'm with you. you know, that's, you know, each chapter, each Madonna album, you know, signifies, you know, next chapter. You know, spent a lot of time at Roscoe's, and I, you know, friends from Western, and, you know, just met people and had a group of friends and would, you know, do Pride and, you know, run around, and, you know, they were, significant relationships and not as significant relationships. And, you know, so yeah, so it was fun.
He's being awful laughing here, folks. There must be a really a good story that he's not sharing. But so what I was just wondering, because you grew up in Detroit, so you had the big city and mm-hmm. the burbs and stuff, and then you went to Kalamazoo, which is not exactly the big mecca of the world.
No.
But I was just wondering, then going from that to then Chicago being such a big city, did you have any type – you said you've been visiting, but, I mean, did you have any culture shock from going to the smaller city to the bigger stuff at all?
Not really culture shock. I think it was just like, wow, this is everything I want. You know, right. Like, you know, I knew for theater and for just creative things, I wanted a big city. Detroit really wasn't it. And, you know, Detroit and Southeast Michigan have wonderful, you know, things in Ann Arbor and, you know, there's Planet Ant and there's Performance Network and, you know, and all these other places. And it's kind of scattered about the region. But I just knew I wanted like a concentrated city and just somewhere different. And, you know, all these college towns, Ann Arbor, Ipsy, Kalamazoo, I was like, okay, enough, you know? Wow. So yeah, you know, it was just this, you know, collection of, you know, people and bars and places that I could walk to or just hop on the train. And I almost had my car, but it died just before I moved. So it was kind of blessing in disguise. I was really upset about it. But it's just, you know, all these different theaters. And, you know, I remember just one of the first things I saw was Looking Glass Theater did an adaptation of Dostoevsky's The Idiot starring David Schwimmer. And, you know, we saw it at the old About Face space in the Jane Addams Hall House, which is now a gym because, you know, Lakeview really needs another gym. a little sad when theaters get torn down and you get condos and, you know, things in their place. But I'm just like, wow, I'm seeing David Schwimmer in this play. Okay. And, you know, it was just really cool and exciting. And, you know, Pride was just like my first Pride. I was like, oh my God, what is this? You know, never seen anything like it.
And yeah, because I remember my first Pride, and because I was with my partner at the time, and we were together 13 and a half years. And then I remember that very first one. I think we were together like maybe a year or 2 years. And I was from this area, but I've been to Chicago before, but I never went to Pride. And it was the very first, and it was just overwhelming. So if there's anybody young out there that's listening, that, you know, if you get an opportunity to go to a bigger city gay pride, it'll totally change your outlook on your life. I mean, it's just amazing. And I'm sure the same thing happened to you then.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So no, you went to Chicago then, and obviously you were pursuing, what kind of work were you doing at that point?
You know, the creative stuff was the playwriting. You know, I'd really kind of like, this is kind of my groove here. And was working on, you know, I'd written, started some of the stuff in college that I did like, and eventually, you know, would continue with, you know, I was working on those. And, you know, I've been involved with Chicago Dramatists. So, you know, that was a great, you know, place to just kind of go and meet people. And, you know, they have readings every Saturday. And, you know, you can always see something new and talk about it and take classes. And, you know, I mean, just living in South Bend now, I haven't really been as involved with them recently. But it's just a great place to start, you know, if you're a writer, if you're a playwright, you know, in the city. That's the go-to place, you know. But then, you know, and then from there, you know, a group of us started our own writers group, and we'd meet and do readings and discuss our stuff and hang out. And that was exciting. And, you know, just my roommate Sarah was, you know, a director. She directed a lot, and, you know, she would, you know, we'd have people over at the house or at the apartment, and, you know, we'd read and she'd help out. And she actually recently directed a reading of mine in September at the Bailiwick. So, wow. You know, so that was fun. So a lot of that, as far as the theater stuff. And then eventually, you know, I started working my way into the solo stuff when I met up with Newtown Writers, which is great. Little plug for Newtown Writers. It's, you know, they're gay writers group, mostly men. I mean, there are some women. It's open and welcoming. It just happens to be mostly guys. It's celebrated in 2005. It turned 25. It was started in 1980. And Newtown is actually the kind of old school name for Lakeview. Lakeview used to be called Newtown. So they meet, you know, on Thursday, you know, I think every Thursday or every other Thursday for like a little reading salon. I haven't really done that end of it, but I've done all their solo. They have working stiffs in the summer and solo homo in the winter. So, cool. So that's when I've started developing those pieces and, you know, have a deadline. We have a show in March. Okay, great. And you have a deadline. Go, you know, so that's been good for me. I need deadlines.
You don't procrastinate at all, do you?
I was talking about this the other day with somebody. It's not so much procrastination. It's just, I think, a slower tempo, so it just takes me longer to get things done. But a deadline gives me focus. So.
Well, I remember one time I had to write a paper, and I wrote the short story, and every time I get started, I was, like, struggling, and then with the night before it was due, and all of a sudden I got this idea, and it clicked. And then I started writing. I wrote this, you know, like, you know, 6 or 7 page short story in like 20 minutes.
Yeah.
It was just amazing. And then when I read it to people, or I did it in my class, I'll never forget the teacher and all the other students are like looking at me like, "You wrote that?" And then he said, "How long did that take? That must have taken you hours." And I said, "No, it took like 20 minutes." And
yeah.
Like, they're like, "What?" And then everybody reads it like, "Is this true?" Because it was very, I mean, I thought it was a good story, so maybe I can share it sometime. But it was really a neat story, and it was just fun seeing the reaction, you know, like a first draft and seeing people. I'm sure you probably had plenty of that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, just get a lot of feedback in my writer's group and you know, even stuff now. You know, Ernie is kind of my live-in dramaturg slash editor slash, you know, it's really cool, you know, or even and with the scripts too. You know, he directs, he's his master's in directing, and his theater guy, and, you know, that's what really helped, you know, bring us together. And, you know, he'll read through a script and, you know, he's not afraid to call me out on something, or, you know, like, "I don't get this. Wait, what?" And I'll tell him, and he'll be like, "That's not on here," or "That's not in here. No, I don't get that," you know. And he knows me. He knows, like, I think my, like, where I'm coming from as far as, you know, I might leave something out, and he knows why I left it out or something like that, you know. So he's like, "No, you need to be more clear," you know.
Right.
But even just in, you know, like, editing, like, going through a prose piece or whatever, he's great. Like, he's like, "Ooh, there's an image here. I'm not sure where we are," or "This tense is off," and, you know, "I'm not sure about this." And so he's good. You know, I know there are writers who have, you know, significant others who just don't get it. Like, they just don't have that kind of, you know, writer's brain, or they can't really help, you know. But he totally gets it, and he can really help. So
that's good. Well, that's a big inspiration for a writer, because
yeah.
You can have somebody who can bounce things off and talk about it, and they know and they relate. It's like, you know, like for example, my ex, when he and I were together, I mean, we were like exact opposites in a lot of ways. So I'd be like, "Oh, I want to do this, I want to do this." He's like, "Oh, I don't care," you know. And then he has his things that he used to like, and then I would be like, "Oh, I don't care." So I mean, it was just amazing how that all, you know, happened. Yeah. But I mean, it's obviously great for you two because you're both very creative. Yeah. Well, right now we're at the 30-minute mark. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to torture my listeners by we're going to take a little break. But I want you to know that if you'd like to, I'm going to put on links for Michael's website, but I'm going to go and read it to you. But it's www.michaelvkplaywright.com. And you can read more about him and see some photos and all of his different things that he's done, and he's a very talented guy, as you can hear, and we'll be talking more about him and his partner and a lot of his other works in the next episode, so stay tuned for that. And I'd also like to encourage all of you to go to my website, which is rambleredhead.com, and please leave your comment on this as well as any of the other episodes that you've listened to. Also, you can leave a review on iTunes, which I'd greatly appreciate if you do, because the more reviews I get, the higher up in the iTunes world that I get. And I'm hoping I get more and more listeners like you. So I definitely appreciate if you could do that. And also, if you'd like to, I'm also on MySpace, which is myspace.com/rambledredhead. And I'm going to put links to Michael's website as well as his MySpace page. You can read more about him and add him to your friend and add me as your friend. And, you know, we'll all be a friendly bunch of people. So before we get going, I'd like to have Michael be able to have an opportunity to say goodbye to all of you.
Goodbye, everybody. It's been fun.
And we'll continue with part two very, very soon. And again, thank you for listening to the Rambled Redhead Show. Bye-bye.